32. So I encourage you to open there in your Bibles. I'm going to read the passage before I invite Daniel to come forward. Genesis 32, starting at verse 22. Jacob wrestles with God. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have with us this evening Daniel Kang. He serves as education and outreach pastor at Korean United Church of Modesto. That is the congregation he currently serves. And so, Daniel, welcome to the pulpit here. Welcome to Ammon Valley.
It's my pleasure to speak God's word in front of believers. I'm very special thank you for coming the Korean Church, Modesto, and also from Emmanuel Church, and also Ammon Valley over here. So we are one body in Christ, is one part of His kingdom, people under His sovereignty, right? So thank you tonight for we have a rain, right? What a blessing, what a blessing. And I have two news. One is a bad news and one is the good news. Which one is you want to hear first? So bad news is, as you know, my English has an accent. So that is a little bit bumpy. So you got to fasten your seatbelt from now on. And good news is my sermon tonight is very short. Shorter than the Pastor Mark or Patrick. So that is good news, right? The great news is that Jesus Christ is our Savior, right? Let's pray for this word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we are here to worship you in the truth and the spirit. Please illuminate our heart with your light in order to realize what is your will, what is your way. Renew us, refresh us, reestablish us with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, I'm greeting in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Savior, is our Lord, is our King of Kings, our Mediator, our Healer. He is our all in all. Today, I want to talk about the name. When you meet someone, each other, you may ask each other, what's your name, right? But how about the asking question like this? What does it mean? Where does your name come from? Do you know what your name exactly means? Actually, my name is Kisok Kang, not Daniel. Daniel is the English nickname. Actual name is Kisok Kang. The Kisok, my grandfather named me. And the Kisok means strong foundation. And that foundation is very solid and nobody's shaking. So you have a strong foundation and be good, live well, live long, longevity and success and prosperity. That are all good things in my name, right? So because of I am the eldest son in my family, my grandfather named me the solid foundation, and his wishes, his dreams for success in my name. When I came to the United States for 10 years ago, I wanted to have an English nickname. So I prayed to God, what would be a good name for me, God? At the time, the Old Testament, Daniel, came to my mind. It reminded me of Daniel who survived the lion's den, perhaps crossing over the Pacific Ocean and to the United States is just like entering the lion's den, right? Having lived in the United States for 10 years, here is the just like a lion's den. It seems right. I think the America, living in America, is a perfect place to be caught and eaten by a lion unless I depend on God. I personally changed my nickname to Daniel in the Bible, and I began to want to live out like a Daniel in the Bible. And just before, I said I greeting in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Actually, Jesus Christ is two combinations of a name, Jesus and Christ. Jesus is a human name. His name is Nazareth Jesus. It represents his hometown. And it means he comes from the physical parent. Jesus is said to be the very common name at the time, like Tom and Sam now. This name Jesus shows us he put on the form of a flesh and physical body like us. It shows us his 100% human nature. And also it shows the name of Jesus symbolized the body, flesh. Our self, old self, and old nature is supposed to die on the cross. And then come out the divine name Christ. Therefore, Jesus must die on the cross. We can find in Matthew chapter 16, 21 through 23 says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. But disciple Peter does not understand what's the meaning of Jesus' death, so he protests. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. And then Jesus exactly formally said about his death. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumble block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." What, Satan? Peter just wants Jesus, right? Peter just wants Jesus to stay longer with him. That is human concern. That is our desire. That is our physical wish. That is our old nature's expectation. But God's will is different. God's will, God's plan, and God's salvation from the beginning for us is different. He sent his Son in the form of flesh, Jesus, and died on the cross to pay for our old debt, and then raised from the dead and ascend, and gave us another advocate, the Holy Spirit, among us. This is God's newness for us. He opened up the new way to God. Let us turn to the Jacob's story. The Bible always tells us something divine, heavenly things, not earthly things. His name is actually deceiver, supplanter, and cheater. We cannot imagine how and what parents can give a twin brother the name of cheater and deceiver, right? The Bible tells us that Jacob represents our old self, our old nature, and the one not reborn again. He was standing at the Jabbok River. Jacob is on his way back to his hometown after suffering for 20 years at his uncle Laban's house. This picture is just like Jacob missed his hometown and parents a lot. That's because he came back. But God's plan is different. God led him to Bethel, which is the house of God, in order to fulfill God's covenant. In Genesis 28, verse 15 said, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." God's promise is never forgotten. God's covenant is never changed. God clearly, exactly remembered his promise that he will be with Jacob. But Jacob, who showed the image of a deceiver all his life, is making another human scheme. He tried to pacify his brother's heart by sending gifts to comfort his brother in groups. "I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me." So the present went on over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp. And he rose at that night, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. We cannot find Jacob praying to God or asking God for a different way in this story. But we see Jacob just only thinking how he can avoid this crisis in his life. Just tricking, just cheating, deceiving, and scheming. The Bible exactly tells us about our identity, our old self, and our old status. The Jacob is our old existence, our essence. This is our existence that has created a fearful situation on our own, and then we try to deceive someone in order to escape the situation. We used to be a deceiver. We used to be a cheater and supplanters. Heidelberg Catechism, question number 8. But are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? The answer is yes. Unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. We are so corrupt. Well, when you see people around us doing good things, why do we say that we are not able to do any good thing at all? It is said that only those who have been born again by the Spirit are good. The good people in the Bible are not the good people we think are moral, ethical, and doing good deeds. The Bible firmly says that those who are born again by the Holy Spirit become good and righteous. We remember the conversation between Jesus and the rich young man in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 18. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knee before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. There is no righteous man in the world. Nobody, no one in the world is not good. Only God is good. Only the people in Christ become new creature, taking off old self, old nature, become newness. Only through his grace, only through his spirit, only through Jesus Christ." And also Jesus said to Nicodemus twice in John chapter 3 about newness. "You must be born again from above to see the kingdom of God." And Jesus said again, "Unless you are born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God." God wants to redefine the kingdom of heaven and to change our status from the belonging to this world to belonging to the heavenly realm. His salvation, his redemption is very radical and upside down and inside out. God commanded us to throw away our old self, to nail our old self to the cross, deny ourselves, take off our cross like Jesus. The Apostle Paul already knows this mystery, already knows this revelation of God. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 said, "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So God changed Jacob's name and made him reborn. No longer your name is a cheater. No longer you are deceiver, supplanter. God hit his hip bone and made him put to death spiritually. He become Israel, which means with God we have a power. This is God's grace. This is God's promise covenant From now on, God will always be with Jacob, and you will be strong. You have power. Interestingly, the Bible tells us that God intentionally failed the first and chose the second one. As we know, Cain and Abel, the story, the first son, Cain, failed to get God's favor. God chose the second son, Abel, and Abel's worship. As I told you, Jacob is the second one whom God loved. The first son, Esau, failed to get God's favor, and he lost the birthright. Jacob's first son, Reuben, failed to get birthright anyway. Another example is Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh was the first son, but again, he failed in the birthright. The Bible continually, consistently showed us the failure of the first one, first man, first son, which represent the old nature, old self, old existence needs to be failed. The Bible tells us something important, divine revelation. Here is another interesting example. How do you see that the priest Zechariah, who can be said to be the last of the Old Testament priests, is unable to speak after knowing the coming of Jesus, the coming of the new age, the coming of the new era, Jesus Christ, that contains a new covenant? He cannot speak at all. Why? Why is he unable to speak when the news of a new era is coming? He is supposed to fail because he is the symbolic priest who represents the old era, the era of the law. Let us look at the John the Baptist. He was the beheaded and died very cruelly. He was the voice of the cry. He was the opener of the new way. And actually, he's the last prophet who baptized Jesus Christ himself. And then why would someone who could be said to be the last prophet of the Old Testament be cut off to death? There is no coincidence in the Bible. Precisely, exactly, completely divine redemptive work from God. Among the many historical figures in the Bible continually, consistently says the failure of the first man when the Bible opens the door to the arrival of the new age, newness, the proclamation of the new covenant. The Apostle Paul says this precisely in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. This passage tells us the failure of the first Adam, and also fulfillment and completion of the new Adam, the second Adam, that is Jesus Christ. God did not abandon the failure of the first Adam, who reigned as the king of death, but sent the second Adam, Jesus Christ. God wants us to remove, replace, refresh, re-establish our old self, old nature, old existence, who are exactly, totally, permanently unchanging failure into God's newness. This is a gift of newness from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. According to the Gerhardus Voss, he is my favorite theologian in Reform. In his book, Biblical Theology, he defines what is God's newness. God's newness, God's new covenant, is clearly, definitely, completely contrast to old one, old self, old covenant, and old redemptive work. Like the old is provisional, but newest is final and consummational. The old is typical, but new is eschatological. The old is penultimate, but new is ultimate. Jesus Christ is obedient to die on the cross, inaugurate newness in a permanent way for us through the Holy Spirit by faith that is direct, freely, permanently, non-discriminatory access to God in the heavenly realm in union with the Holy Spirit. That is the substance of the newness. This is God's free gift for us. Also in Heidelberg Catechism says about the God's newness like this. What is the coming to life of the new nature? It is a heartfelt joy in God through the Christ and our love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. I want to wrap up this sermon, ask a question, guys, tonight. Why did God change Jacob's name into Israel? Why did God hit his hip on and kill Jacob spiritually and reestablish as Israel, which means having power with God? Why in the Bible, why continually does the first man fail to inherit God's blessing like Esau, Cain, Reuben, Manasseh, and even the first Adam? What's your name? Are you a deceiver, Jacob? Or are you Israel? Now we became Israel. We got the new name from God. By not our effort, by not our endeavors, or by not our merits, but only by God's sheer grace, by God's tireless zeal, by God's providence, by God's big picture, by God's merciful possession. The Bible tells us that His kingdom, His sovereignty, is redefining our thought, our law, our old status by upside down and inside out. God loves us, and God is renewing, reestablishing, revealing our being and living us into God's perfect, sheer, everlasting newness. Amen. Let's pray.